The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
We're back. Hello.
Oh, don't make me smile.
Yeah,
we're back with a vengeance. But
we are.
Paul, this was not the new year I'd planned.
Was it not? Well, you can tell me about it in a minute. Let me introduce the show. Welcome. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, 95.1 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and astonishingly gorgeous Jill Serkin, who is one tooth less than she was before Christmas.
Is it age or when they start taking your teeth out?
Don't know, love.
It's so painful. I tell you, I was talking to a girlfriend and she said she'd had four wisdoms out. And she said, to be honest, Jules, childbirth was easier than because you wouldn't know about that. But I was having a lovely Christmas and all that. And then suddenly I had a gold crown on the upper seven molar.
So what did you do, bite a nut or something?
I think it might have been a toffee.
See, at your age, you don't want to do toffees.
I don't eat
toffees.
They get
under your plate, don't they?
Yeah, I don't have a plate, except in my knee, of course, which is entertaining. But I never eat toffees. I'm more of a chocolate girl. But, you know, Christmas, you get the bloody selection thing, don't you? And there's always a couple of toffees
in. Don't get me started on Quality Street. Don't you get me started on that.
Why does everybody fight over the green triangle and the purple
Quality Street. I've seen a full-blown analysis of tin size.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Since 1995, every year the tin size has got smaller for the same price.
I know. And less of the nice
ones. And now, this year, they weren't even wrapped in foil.
The finger has come out.
Wrapped in silly bits of paper.
Well, I got the refill, not the tin.
Why?
Because, I don't know, I thought it was economising.
You cheapo.
I've got so many tins, Paul.
You cheapo.
Hundreds of tins.
And they got buttons and sewing kits in.
The thing, yeah, they have, right, as it goes. But I actually ate the first lot before Christmas.
I bet you did.
So, because I got them in November being prepared. So they went, so then I got another couple of refills.
Right, so you had this toffee, and what did that do? Pulled a filling out or something?
I managed to it's lovely, great. Did you see all my red cabbage? I did. It was very nice. Yeah. I do it with, it's a Delia recipe. Delia, you cannot go wrong with Delia Smith. I do it every year. So it's red cabbage, Kentish cooking apples, onions, garlic. So you layer it. So you chop your red cabbage, then you put a layer of your Kentish apples, Bramleys if you can get them, and onions and garlic, and then lovely Christmas spices, you know, make up a little spice with cinnamon and all that malarkey.
Right.
And then you just keep layering it and layering it. Then you pour over some cider vinegar I use, and knobs of butter.
Right.
Can I say knob on there?
Yeah.
Knob of butter all over. Bung it in the oven. And you cook it slow, and it's absolutely, and the whole house smells delicious. And long story short, you can freeze it. It lasts forever. It's really good. So my red cabbage always goes down well. And then the sprouts, gratin, I do, which are really lovely. So the sprouts,
you're going to talk us all the way through your Christmas dinner, aren't you?
You should have come round.
We're only on the vegetables now. Well, you didn't invite me, did you?
Well, I knew you had a beef, didn't you?
I had rib of beef.
Yeah, was it nice?
It was incredible, and it lasted about 3 weeks.
Well, we've just finished the last of our sprouts. We had them on Sunday with a roast chicken.
Yeah.
They weren't yellow. They were nice.
Guess what I had with my dinner last night?
Sprouts,
red cabbage.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's very good for you this time of year because you're eating in season.
Shall I explain how I did it?
Don't you want to hear about my Brussels?
No, I'm going to tell you how I did my red cabbage
gratin.
Yeah.
So I do it with I'm going by memory, but I put in almonds, flaked almonds.
See, no wonder your teeth are shot.
Lardons.
No wonder your teeth are shot.
Lardons and double cream, and then you grate parmesan all over it, and it's absolutely delicious.
Did you have a silver sixpence in there as well? Is that what did it?
No, my mum puts a florin in.
A groat.
Do you know my mum Ruth, what is a groat?
A groat?
It's before florins.
A groat is before farthings, let me tell you. It's fourpence was a groat.
Oh, okay. Is that when you used to swap your goat for a pig and all that?
No.
And a bushel.
Groats went out of currency about 200 or 300 years ago.
Yeah, when you used to buy a bushel of something.
But seriously, I'm old enough just to remember farthings. Just.
Sorry, I'm sipping my coffee. Well, do you remember those things that had like all the
Frumley Bits?
Yeah, do you remember them? My mum used to put a Frumley Bit in a sixpence.
Yeah.
Our kids don't know what they are, do they?
No. Well, I think it's Cockney rhyming slang now.
I know. Anyway, so back to Christmas. So I did very well. It was great. I was very prepared. That's rude, isn't it?
Probably.
Yeah, we are on FM, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, got to remember. Yeah. 16 years we've done, but, you know, got to...
Yeah, 16 years, the start of our 16th
exactly.
year.
A big welcome to all our lovely Romney Marsh and Rye and all them listeners.
Yeah.
We do love you. But anyway, back to Christmas. So I was fine. And then New Year, I just got a few friends together. We went around my mum's, Ruth, who's 93, and had a bit of a shindig there.
Mm-hmm.
My mum likes to party.
She's a party animal. She is.
I just
Ruth.
Want to go to bed by about 11 o'clock. She's, you know, opening another bottle of this, that, and the other.
Mm.
My crown. I had a gold crown, as you asked.
Yeah, of course.
That's been there for a while, and it started waving about. And me being a Gemini, I was, wiggling it, and it was very painful because it was hanging onto a post, apparently. So then I eventually got to the dentist.
So it's a gold filling, basically.
Yeah, a gold crown, isn't it?
Mm.
It goes over a tooth. It's a crown, isn't it?
Okay.
I call it. I call it the crown.
And you
anyway.
And you had a gold one.
Oh, yeah.
Serves you right,
yeah.
then.
So then, then I toddle off to the dentist when they finally opened, and she put a jab into my gum to take the crown off because it was quite painful.
Mm.
And then she said, I can't take this tooth out, but it needs to come out because it's fractured. You right. fractured your tooth. It's just a crack. I mean, she made it sound so dramatic. I mean, fractured.
Okay.
Yeah, ridiculous. Anyway, so...
That'll be £2,000, madam.
It was. Do you know what the... Just to go in to tell her that my crown was waving off cost £75.
Bargain.
It's bonkers.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, she then charged me £100 to take the crown off. I wish I'd done it at home in the bathroom, frankly. Yeah. And then...
Pair of pliers.
Yeah. And then the... injection in the gum, which she said was the nasty one, of course, because it's in the, you know, it's up there. And she said it's quite a nasty one. And the nurse held my arm, so I knew it was going to be. Well, that set off all my AstraZeneca neurological. So my whole face has been numb ever since. Have you got any violins, Lewis?
Yeah, oh dear.
She said, I can't take this tooth out. You'll have to see the head honcho. Oh. So I had to go back on Thursday of last week and have another jab in my gums.
Why couldn't she take it out?
She's too scared.
Is she not a dentist?
Because it was a, she just didn't want to do it because it was, you know, my teeth are good. They're solid.
Not that good.
Oh, no. Fractured. She didn't want to take a fracture. So she sent me to the head honcho who then said, we've got a nasty jab to go in your gum both sides. It's not very nice. And then the man, the male nurse this time, male, it's all very avant-garde now. Yeah. Never a male in my day. He held my arm as well and put his hand on my shoulder. And it was fine.
Hold on. Have you got Victorian dentists or something?
A hand on my shoulder?
No. All this, this jab's going to hurt. Crap. Yeah. And that's not happened for 20 years in a dentist.
It went right in my bone and made my eye smart.
No. But...
What do they say now then?
Yeah, my dentist has this thing that rubs. They rub your gum to numb it, they inject it.
He didn't do any of that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You've got some Victorian torture artist dentist.
I have
dentist.
To say, I didn't. I'm not mentioning the brand of dentist that I went to or the name of them, but I didn't take to him. I didn't take to his bedside manner. It was a bit brusque.
But
it was post Christmas. Everybody's brusque post Christmas. They think about what they've spent. Then they feel fat. I put on 3 pounds.
I used to hate injections in my mouth so much that I had teeth work done without anything.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it was so...
Did you have hypnotherapy?
No. I'll tell you...
So even drinking my coffee is hurting.
I can tell you a story about that, actually.
Too hot.
Anyway, but...
Can I just finish off my story, then?
No, because it's boring.
Because then, being a yoga teacher, and I used to teach meditation, Susie, got Susie...
So this is the problem. Can I finish my story by going back to 1922?
I was lying there...
I know, Susie. What can you do?
I was taking my brain away and visualising lovely...
And they took your brain out? Oh, there was some use to it, then.
So I'm lying there, and I'm thinking of a seashore and the sea and the sun shining and seagulls and that... He didn't have any music on either, so I couldn't take my mind off it. And then he started drilling and hammering, and because I was a dental nurse, I could visualise roots. And then he started drilling, and he was hammer and chisel, and it wouldn't come out 45 minutes. So halfway through, I thought, I mustn't swear, blooming visualisation. I want to go now. I just had it. I actually physically wanted to get up and go out and just say, just leave it hanging off. I don't care. You know. So anyway, he finished it. And then you come out with your little gauze that you're biting on. And then after that, You can't eat anything. Like, everything's soft. I so want something crispy.
He's just an NHS dentist, by any chance.
No, private, darling.
He's awful. You need a better dentist than that.
Well, I phoned Helios Homeopathy to get some stuff because I was in agony. I didn't want to keep taking ibuprofen because, you know, then really awful. So I phoned Helios on Saturday and I said, I've got neuralgia, my whole face hurts, unbearable. Please help. And I was waking up and having yogurt at 3 a.m. so I could have an ibuprofen, you know, anyway, long story short, Helios told me what I should take, homeopathic, and they said, we won't get it to you till Tuesday. So I found a local homeopath, Mandy, amazing. Gav, new husband, went round, collected. I've got a whole load of stuff, and I take them every 2 hours for the pain and for the inflammation and for the trauma and all that. I love Mandy. Thank you very much.
I have newt, wing of bat.
All of that.
Leg of toad.
It's stuff you'd know. It's arnica and hypericum.
She's a witch.
You'd know hypericum, Susie.
She's a witch.
Susie, you'd know hypericum for pain. It's the white daisy. Very, very. It's basically an aspirin.
Drugger.
Yeah.
I'd use
but natural.
Ambisol.
I don't know. I've heard of Ambisol.
It's a liquid.
Sounds like something you put under your arms.
No, you put it on your teeth. It's great for if you've got babies.
Or, you know, air freshener.
That's not what it sounded like to me, Ambisol.
What does it sound like to
not
you?
To be no, I'm not going there.
So what, you rub it on your
it's
gum?
It's liquid. You get it
I've been rubbing frankincense.
And it's,
Franco.
It numbs everything. It's brilliant. It's an anaesthetic.
I've been
just do it exactly on the point.
Well, I've got frankincense all over here. DoTerra. Do you remember she was on our show, Joe? It was Joe, wasn't it, that did the oils? Sniggering in the corner.
He's having a great time over there.
I've got frankincense and lavender, and I've been sucking cloves. Careful,
I'm not. You know, you're not dragging me into this.
My Christmas cloves. Anyway, I'm very excited because I think Paul Andrews, for once in 16 years, we've got a great couple of guests for the beginning of the year, haven't we?
What are you trying to say about all of our previous guests?
Well, no.
There's 621 other shows. They were all rubbish.
Yeah.
But you two, fine, perfect.
But what I mean...
Well, that's lucky, isn't it?
What I mean is, for the beginning of the year, it's just lovely to start off with these exceptional...
with people you can moan at about your medical conditions. Yeah, exactly. I know what you're going on about, don't you?
Because New Year resolutions, you know, mine went right out of the window when I was in agony. It was right out. You're not going to swim more and jog more and touch your toes more.
Anyway,
next week,
long story short, so they took the tooth out is basically what they did.
Yeah, I now have a great big hole with a blood clot in it.
Okay, yeah.
And I had to stop my AstraZeneca, you know, I'm on natural blood thinners, Natokinase.
Yeah.
I had to stop them because, of course...
You would have bled to death otherwise.
I'd still be bleeding.
Exactly.
But anyway, on the show today, we have the amazing Susie K. Brooks, the therapist. She is on Twitter. What... Is her Twitter handle?
None of us know.
Why
you said that when I'm looking at you going, but none of us know what her Twitter handle is.
Okay, I will find it. I'll find it in a minute. And then Lewis, because I've just retweeted her on her phone. Lewis Sutton of Market Town CrossFit. I must say, I was saying off air to Lewis, it's near Ashford, by the way. My new husband, Anne Shay, who's 28 this year, but when he was at Langton Boys, you know, in Canterbury, they both went to a CrossFit in Canterbury, which was around the Windcheap, and I'll ask Shay later.
There's a guy called James that ran it.
Yeah, good, yeah. Mm. And Shay and Gav were offered a free session, and they crawled back. They're both fit, you know. Yeah. Shay was about 15, and Gav was, whatever.
I can't remember his surname. James.
James CrossFit, Michael.
He had two CrossFit studios, one in Canterbury and one like in Margate or somewhere like that.
Yeah, I wonder where he's gone.
But the one in Windcheap closed down ages and ages ago.
Yeah, but they did come back absolutely shattered. And I'll be looking forward to hearing. Right, I've got Susie's. So her Twitter is SUSIE, B for Bertie, C for Cyclone, L for Lion, 2. So that's S-U-S-I, Susie, B-C-1-2. I'm following her now, and I'm going to retweet her so you can all follow her. She's got 81 followers. She doesn't know about it.
Right. There you go.
Wow.
So Susie Brooks, 81 followers. Follow her.
They're probably all porn or spam.
Susie B-C-L-2. But going back to Helios, amazing. If you ever need homeopathy, ring them. They're great. H-E-L-I-S. They're in London. But she told me there are only three of
That's
these.
That's two.
three, careful what you say there, of these proper dentists who she said, there's one in Marlow that I'm going to track down. And she said, you wouldn't have had any of that. They would have put a lovely IV into the socket and done it all beautifully and holistically.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
He was barbaric.
My dentist in Hawkhurst, he wouldn't have tolerated any of that.
You nearly said Gougehurst.
I nearly said Gougehurst.
No, but Gouge, get it?
Yeah. But it's between Hawkhurst and Gougehurst.
See what I did
Gougehurst.
Then?
Yeah.
Thank you. But
I should have gone at 2:30, shouldn't I?
Oh, for God's sake, no. I'm just astounded that you found a dentist that's still practicing torture.
It was horrible. And not to have any music as well. Like, normally you have a bit of Radio 2 or other stations are available. I've gone off Radio 2. I listen to Greatest Hits or Channel Radio.
100 years ago, I would have been about 24,
that's
25.
When you had wood put in your mouth instead
of... Just listen. I had to listen to you. You've got to listen to me.
Pegs.
When I was about 24, so it was about 100 years ago, when I was living and working in central London, I had rampant toothache, and I needed the tooth extracted, but I was so terrified of having injections and stuff like that that I just wouldn't go. I just put up with the pain. And my then and now ex-wife, but then my wife, kept moaning, you can't lay here every night groaning and moaning and all the rest
tooth
of it.
Pain is
go
hideous.
To a dentist. And I went, no, I'm not going. Anyway, we met. I used to work in Old Holborn, and she worked in Soho. And we used to meet for lunch around Oxford Circus. And we met up for lunch, and she said, oh, just before we go to lunch, I need to pop up here. Because she was a devious cow, right? and it turned out to be a dentist, right? And she'd made an appointment for me. And I thought we were going into a restaurant. And, of course, I'm in there, and it's a dentist. And it's a South African guy.
They pinned you down.
Yeah. And I said, look, I don't want to be here because I don't like dentists. So I'm going to kill you. Because I'm going to have to, and you're not jabbing me with anything, and I'm not having gas, and I don't want anything. And he said, no, that's fine. He said, you know, I won't give you anything. There's no way. He said, let me just take a look at your tooth, though. So, and he got hold of my mouth, and he's looking in my mouth at my tooth and everything. He's just staring at it. And he went, yeah. He said, I see lots of people that don't like injections. He said, but of course you can't walk around with a rotten tooth in your mouth. You have to have it out. And I went, I'm not having it out. And he went, oh, that's a shame.
Ah!
And he held it up.
Wow. Yeah. It was that loose.
No. He perfected a thing where he could pull it out with his fingers. But what he did is, while he was looking, he kept pulling my mouth, and he basically numbed my mouth just by pulling it about, to the point where I didn't realise, and because he distracted me, he didn't get hold of it. I mean, if it didn't come out when he pulled it, then obviously he's got a problem. Yeah. But it came out, and he was stood there holding it in his hand, and he went, okay, I won't do anything.
I want that dentist.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, the fact that I was in the chair for 45 minutes was a bit worrying, I have to say.
Yeah.
But the worst thing is, like, chewing is, you just can't, you know. And it says eat soft food, and I have to do a salt water mouthwash after everything. So last night, you know, I have lovely things, you have that lovely flavor in your mouth, then you've got
but it's
going to
heal soon though, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's not the rest of your
but
life.
But it's not my plan for the beginning of the year. That is not my plan. So I should be talking to Susie about how to flip the negativity, that word,
yeah.
negativity yeah, in my brain, where I thought, why me, why now, you know. I have a lot happen to me in my life. Broken legs. When I saw that snow yesterday, I got very goosey. So I slipped on black ice in 96 and I was breastfeeding. And the National
Which is only, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
She bears a grudge.
I have a phobia, because what they did was the NHS in Canterbury, KNC, don't have an emergency now. They tried, there were no anaesthetists. It was New Year's Day. There were no anaesthetists. So the NHS was just as bad 30 years ago. And they tried to put the main bone of my body back together with gas and air, which does not work.
You're listening to Emergency Ward 10.
Yeah. Half the news don't
know. The medical moaning show here on the radio.
But Susie can work with this. So when I see ice and black ice, which is how I slipped. So I was in plaster for 9 months with a baby. Yeah, with a baby, a young baby.
They would have been better off putting it on your leg.
What?
Than putting it on the baby.
The baby. But, you know, they left me a week in traction because there were no staff. Unbelievable. We need a medical show, Paul.
No, we don't. We actually don't need a medical show. Thank you.
So we've got Lewis getting us in trim.
Yeah.
I'm volunteering, Paul Lewis, to have a little session with you.
Yeah, come
down. So you're going to tell us after the news, aren't you, how Paul can start off?
Right, it's 21 minutes past one. We haven't started the show yet.
No.
We've got two fantastic guests to talk to, and we've had another episode of your stupid medical problems.
I know. Why does it happen?
Because you're old. That's why it happens.
I know. I'm beginning to think this, but you're still older.
I am older than you.
I was saying this to my new husband. I said, it's because I'm old, these things. And then I said, but Paul's much older.
Yeah, yeah.
He's nipping off towards the 70s.
I am. Yeah.
Mind you, my birthday comes before yours, so I will be edging toward you. May.
Briefly.
Bottle of carver, please.
Yeah, okay. Right, anyway, listen, I've got some cheesy tunage.
Yeah.
I bet you can't get this.
Oh, is it a hard one?
It is a really hard one. This is in homage to Susie.
I love homage. Pie. Oh, if you could read my mind.
Yeah.
Ralph McTell?
Well, it's not. It's Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh,
but,
Gordon Lightfoot.
But everybody in the world's done this.
I love this song. Yeah, you're right. It's Gordon. Yeah, Lightfoot. Oh, I love this song. I've gone all goosey.
Oh.
I've got all like goose pimples. Goose bumps. Oh, all warm and touchy feeling.
In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Just like a paperback novel, the kind the drugstores sell. When you reach the part where the heartaches come, the hero would be me. Heroes often fail. You won't read that book again because the ending's just too hard to take. And walk away like a movie star who gets burned in a three-way script. Enter number two. A movie queen to play the scene of bringing all the good things out in me. But for now, love, let's be real. I never thought I could act this way. If you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts could tell. Just like an old-time movie about a ghost from a wishing well. In a castle dark or a fortress strong with chains upon my feet. The story always ends. If you read between the lines, you'll know that I'm just trying to understand the feelings that you lack. I never thought I could feel this way, and I've got to say that I just don't get it. I don't know where we went wrong, but the feeling's gone, and I just can't get it back.
Hey, Gordon Lightfoot there.
I love that song.
Hold on, I'll turn you up.
You can. I love that song. You can see why I thought it was Ralph McTale, because it's a similar kind of vibe. But you're right, it's Gordon Lightfoot. I feel embarrassed I got it wrong.
But 100 people have recorded that song. So
have you?
Yeah, of course I have. Yeah, I've got two versions. I've got a reggae version of it and
a calypso one.
Yeah.
I said to my new husband, we're going to talk to Susie Brooks in a minute, and she's going to give us some tips for January, February, but. You know, you have Christmas, I work my butt off for Christmas too. I start planning in November and I make little lists of what I'm buying.
I'm not surprised when you go to that amount of trouble just to make red cabbage.
Yeah, I tell you, it's so nice. Anyway, I have a folder that I've had for like 25 years with all my Christmas recipes, which I shall be passing down to my grandchildren.
Oh, lovely.
But you work hard and you get all your presents and you get them all wrapped up and you get all organised. So you're not stressed, because we don't like stress at Christmas.
Mrs. Serkin's cookbook.
Yeah. But we don't like stress at Christmas, and it can be, and then you get it over, and I've just chucked my Christmas tree out the window so we don't get pine needles. We've got our lounges top floor.
See, it's a classic mistake. There.
What, to chuck your Christmas tree out the window?
To have a Christmas tree with needles on it. Get a plastic one. What's the matter with you?
I love a real one.
We've got a plastic one, and my daughter puts it up, and there's this trail of glitter, because it has glitter on it.
But there you are, so still.
It goes from upstairs all the way down into the lounge.
Yeah.
And it's there till about June.
Exactly. I was... because my cleaners are hopeless, if they're listening, I was cleaning myself, and I moved a chair that my cleaners have never, ever moved. They have never moved in 100 years, and I moved this chair, and there were, I put a picture, didn't I?
Yeah.
There were cobwebs all on the back of the chair, and spiders and moths and insects, like whole, you know, I mean, David Attenborough would have had a field day. And then, you know, creatures.
There was a troop of chimps living under there.
Creatures. Yeah. And I think that's the other guy, actually, creatures.
Yeah.
You know, what's his name?
Yeah,
David Bellamy. Anyway, well, one of them said it, creatures. So I was furious. And there, and underneath the chair were pine needles from 1066.
Yeah.
So, cleaners, if you're listening, do try a bit harder.
Cool.
I have asked them to move the furniture, and I said, if you ever need me to help you, I will. You know, if I'm working from home, just call me. But no.
We used to have one of those things that I don't know what you call it now, footstool, but it, in those days it was called a poof.
Poof.
Oh, yeah.
You can't say that now.
My son says a poof.
Yeah. Puffet. It's
in a liver puddling.
We had a family of mice living in it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We worked out that they were at the centre. Mice. I've got 3 cats.
In your house?
Yes. And there was a family of mice living in the middle up bit of this poof, and they were just so because the cats just couldn't reach them to scoot them back out again.
Oh,
very tactical.
My cat,
very clever mice.
I had a cat, they're deceased now, and we now have a greyhound, so cats and that don't mix. But she used to bring in the mice and drop them on the floor in the lounge and just leave them running. And then me and my then cleaner used to just scream, and I called the plumber to come around and dispose of the mouse that was running around because I couldn't.
Anyway, shall we start the radio show now?
Yeah.
It's just half an hour in.
Yeah, but I'm...
And we're running out of time.
I'm interested in...
That sounds like a very good idea.
Yeah, yes. Shall we go with that?
Yeah, before everyone gets hell phobias.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show, Susie K. Brooks.
Hello.
Neuro-linguistic programmer par excellence and therapist. Susie, welcome back. Thank you for joining us. For those listeners that didn't hear you last time we were on, just give us a quick overview of what it is you do.
Therapy. That's a very quick...
That's it? It's no. done. Anyway, our next guest is...
You like it a little bit more in depth. I am a hypnotherapist,
right.
So I can do the bit with... And I have got a watch. A lot of people come and say, where's your watch? I say,
right.
I've got a little watch.
Have you?
And it's very dinky. And my family bought it for me when I qualified.
And do you use it to hypnotise people?
Or to tell the time?
Of course I do.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I'm also something... I'm a neuro-linguistic programming master,
right.
Which is NLP, how we see the world, how we feel about the world, how we fit into the world and all that kind of malarkey.
Mm-hmm.
And there's loads of stuff that you can do with that.
Yeah.
I'm also a life and personal coach, which sounds really boring, but there's some really, really great stuff that you can use within that context that can really revolutionise things that happen in your life and the direction you want to take it in.
Such as?
Good question. I haven't finished the therapies yet.
Okay.
we'll come back to that one. But I also do some stuff called IEMT, Integral Eye Movement Therapy. And this is very specific for people who have got PTSD, anxiety, and stress. And I also do something called Metaphors of Movement.
Okay.
Talk us through the first, the PT, the eye thing.
The IEMT, Integral Eye Movement.
What do you do? What is it?
Well, it's a little bit like doing surgery on your brain, but without a scalpel. It's fascinating. Mm. What we do is we take the trauma that you've got at the moment, whether it's emotional trauma or the trauma of having pictures that you can see that you can't get rid of, which is really what PTSD is, and we concentrate on that. And what I do is I get you to focus on feeling it, actually being in it, but without being traumatized. And then we use, I've got a little pen with a jewel on the top, which is rather lovely. Or sometimes I've got a pen with a light. Mm. And I use that to do eye movements. So you sit very, very still. And I use that for you to follow it with your eyes. And while you're following on that and just focusing on the trauma, whether it's the pictures or the emotions or a combination of both, depending on what's happened to you, we can reprocess that back.
So you're using the left and the right side of the brain?
Left, right.
So like the rapid movement.
Yeah, we're using all of the areas. So you're using the visual area, the auditory, your kinesthetic area, and your ID, your self-talk, your emotional intelligence.
So it sounds like what you're doing is basically desensitizing.
That's what
those, also happens with phobias and things like that.
The NHS use something called EMDR.
Which is amazing.
It is amazing. And what we've done is taken the bits that are actually the working bits, the bits that make things happen, and taken the stuff that you don't need out of it, and actually really, really focused on the thing that makes the difference and reprocessing those memories, those traumas. It actually goes from your frontal cortex through to your amygdala, which is your fight, flight, or freeze. It's only about the size of an almond, and it's very, very clever.
Amygdala is Greek for almond.
It's shaped like an almond.
Didn't know you were fluent in Greek.
Same size as an almond. There you go.
Yeah.
And then that passes through to the hippocampus. And the hippocampus is the part of the brain that is mostly used to process and put into the past memories. Right. So the things that were traumatizing you aren't in front of you and with you anymore. They've actually, it's fantastic, they will actually disappear. And that sounds like a big claim to make, but I have, as a therapist, worked with people where they have struggled to actually find that memory again.
Okay.
But with a lot of people, it moves it, it changes it, so it desensitizes you to whatever happened in the past.
Yeah.
And this is absolutely fantastic.
Susie, what made you choose that as opposed to the one that the EMDR that the National Health use? Has yours got more to it?
Purely and simply chance. The NHS isn't something that I've ever really considered working for because I am a private therapist.
No, but what made you choose the tool that you use as opposed to the one that they use? Because yours is slightly different.
It is slightly different, but not different enough to make it very different.
Okay.
Yeah, because the bits that actually make stuff happen are the bits that we both use.
Yeah.
Okay.
IEMT is also very, very good for anxiety. And a lot of people suffer from anxiety, and so I felt that it was a stronger tool to have. Also, I was already a hypnotherapist, I was already an NLP master, and to do the qualification in EMDR, that also includes stuff that is very, very similar, and there was no point in me repeating things that I already knew how to do.
Yeah.
So the logical route to take was to do the Integral Eye Movement Therapy, which was designed by Andrew T. Austin, who I personally considered to be an absolute genius, and I feel very privileged that I've been able to train with him.
Mm. Wow. England-based.
Mm. Yes.
It happens quite a lot with things like NHS services. So if you take something like cognitive behaviour therapy, there's a thing called brief self-help, which is a subset of cognitive behaviour therapy that therapists use quickly to get to the nub of something, you know, quickly rather than to use the full palette of everything. Yeah. But they're the same technologies, but just cherry picking bits out of it to make things happen quickly.
Yeah, picking the best bits, which is what I try to do. So by having five different therapies that I'm certified in and so on, it just really helps me with the client to be able to move very, very quickly from one thing to another as things come up and as things appear. So I'm not stuck just on one path and going, right, well, I'm doing this therapy and this is what I do and this is what I do and that's how I do it and this is what we're doing next. It just means that I've got the ability to switch very quickly and mix and match as things come up and appear for clients.
Cool.
So a lot more flexible.
Okay. Fascinating stuff. I kind of, that's your background and that's what you do and they're the things that you're involved in. As Jules made reference to earlier, at this time of year, we start to think about, or some people do, I don't, but some people start to think about goals and New Year's resolutions. Oh, I can't be bothered. Again, people start off with good intentions doing things. Why do you think it is that we kind of don't carry that through?
Because we take on too much too soon.
Right.
Yeah. Everything that we do, anything like that, use baby steps. Yeah. Just one bit at a time. Just remember, Rome was not built in a day.
Yeah.
And people like to think at the beginning of January that they can build Rome in a fortnight or a month.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really sorry, guys. You can't.
Yeah.
So you need to start off gently. And one of the things that I'm talking to people about at the moment is by doing that and saying to yourself, today, and just for today, I am going to whatever it is, that next little step.
Yeah.
Today, and just for today, I'm going to do this. Today, and just for today. Because if you say today, and just for today, your conscious mind doesn't get overwhelmed by it.
Mm.
It hasn't got to climb a mountain. Mm. Yeah, it can do it very gently and very gradually, day by day, one step at a time.
It's interesting, isn't it? 25 years ago, I was a very heavy smoker, and I mean it really heavy, like 80 a day.
How did you find the time?
I was just chain smoked, basically. Bearing in mind that all that time ago, of course, people forget this, you smoked everywhere.
Yeah.
I smoked to my desk. You know, there wasn't anywhere really where it was no smoking.
Cut the air with a knife.
Exactly. You smoked at work, you smoked at home, you smoked in a cinema, you smoked on a bus, you smoked wherever you want.
On a plane?
Yeah, on a plane. I'm a very heavy smoker, and I had a medical problem, and the consultant intimated that maybe smoking 80 fags a day may have been a little soupçon of the problem, and maybe I ought to think about giving up. And the interesting thing about that was I read a book called How to Give Up Smoking the Easy Way by Alan Carr. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you come across it.
Very good.
Yeah, very powerful book, very simple. And again, you know, this is exactly what you were saying. The way I gave up smoking was to not smoke the next cigarette. Just one. Just not going to smoke that one. And as long as you keep saying that to yourself...
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Very quickly, you realise, hold on a minute, I've gone a whole day and it hasn't bothered me at all. Well, I'm not going to smoke the next one. Because what people do, I think, with things like that, is they go, do you know, I'll just give in once and then I'll go back to it after. And that's fatal, isn't it? Because you've just given in completely as soon as you do it.
And when I do hypnotherapy for people who are giving up smoking, hypnotherapy is great, by the way, as a help and a support. Mm. It works like a crutch. And if people arrive and they've got a packet of cigarettes with them or in the bag, yeah, I know pretty much that they actually don't really want to stop.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating because looking back over clients, those clients who arrive and genuinely want to stop smoking will.
Yeah.
Those that come that don't, won't.
Mm. It's wishful thinking, isn't it? You know, they know they don't want to, but they do, really. Mm. And that's almost anything like that. Whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to get fit, whatever you do, you know, we can all sit there and go, yeah, I need to lose weight. Yeah, I need to get fit. Yeah, I need
dry
to
smoke. January.
Yeah. And all of that kind of stuff.
Vegan January was the new one, isn't it? Vegan.
Oh, don't start being disgusting.
I'm not doing vegan. Yeah.
But even dry, I think dry January is, I cannot personally just say to myself, right, I'm going to not drink.
Josie's favourite is the November one where she grows a moustache.
Oh, yeah, I'm one of those, I'm a Gemini, and like if I say to
two-faced
myself,
is what she is.
I'm not going to have, right,
indecisive.
From now on, like January is the worst month. You know, it's suddenly, you know, got bills to pay and you've got foul weather. Stop having a little sherry.
300 weight of red cabbage to finish off.
To stop having a little. We had some amazing cheese last night, by the log fire, watching The Tourist, which is back at Series 2. Not as good as Series 1, by the way, in my opinion. I said, should we have a little port with our cheese? You know, it's life's pleasure. And I don't have a problem with alcohol. So.
no problem. She gets up and has a pint of Prosecco for breakfast and sets herself up for the day.
But it is organic, so it's fine. It's life's pleasure. And if someone tells me, I've really struggled with the AstraZeneca injuries, and the amount of supplements, my cleaner was in yesterday, first time since before Christmas.
Does she clean under the chairs?
No, not at all.
Come on, get the chairs moved.
But she said, oh my God, your timers that go off because I've got an Alexa. And I have timers to take this, to remember every 2 hours. And I'm alternating. She said, oh, my God, how do you do it? I do it because I want to get well. So that's fine. But if someone tells me, I'm only being vegan for just, the gates come up. And Lewis will talk about this after, I'm sure. But, if someone says, do not drink all January, to me, it's torture because
because she's an alky.
But it's all right if it's organic.
Yeah.
But I have enough restrictions in my life without being told, not to eat beef or whatever. Anyway, I'm a carnivore, Lewis. I'm sure you are. So.
She hates the fact that I'm teetotal. It drives her nuts.
I love it because it'll drive me anywhere. Where, in the old days, he's married now, so he's not so good. But in the old days, I'd just say, "Oh, can you drive me?" Because and then I'd get drunk and sit in the back of his Porsche. With my legs out the window because quite a small car, and he'd drive me from A to B. It's very useful to have a teetotal friend.
I went to lunch with her once, in Whitstable at Wheeler's, 12 o'clock. Do you know what time we got home from that lunch? 3:30 in the morning.
that's some doing.
Wow. And I had to sit there all the time. I mean, there were two or three of them. And then Gavin, her new husband, joined us halfway through and bought another 4 bottles of wine with him. And I had to sit there while they're all imbibing this stuff. And then they go, let's go to the Neptune. Yeah. There's a band on.
And we were jiving on the thing. Actually, though, you are good at jiving. You could have joined in. But when you're sober.
Because I was sober. The rest of you were all falling about all over the place. You're not body coordinated. Yeah, you're all drunk.
We were jitterbugging. never have jitterbugged in my life. But once you've had a bottle of two, you can jitterbug. It's very strange. I don't like, I think I have enough responsibilities without being told to do this for, unless it's life-saving. So, I'll take this.
Anyway, let's talk back with Susie because...
Yeah, you just do your own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm looking at your phobias here. So my daughter...
Yeah, come on, what's wrong?
They're not your person, but there's some big names here. But my daughter has got a fear of the wind. And I have no idea... Parsnips. I've no idea. Honestly, it's like being back at school.
Yes, it's which kind of wind?
Yeah, of windy bridges. Like, so when she was a toddler, we tried to.
I used to go to school with him.
Windy bridges. Sounds like a country and western singer. Yeah, yeah. Windy bridges. Don't make me laugh. So when she was a toddler, we had to drag her across a London bridge when there was quite a strong wind going, and she was screaming,
terrified.
I have no idea where that phobia came from because I can't remember any trauma. With a wind.
Well, that's while you were saying that was what struck me as interesting. And do you have any inkling of where those kind of things arise? What it is that causes someone to have a phobia like that?
Yes, you can find it.
Right,
it's fascinating because you're running a program 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of everything that happens to you, and you may not remember things consciously, but usually it's in your subconscious. It will be in your memory bank somewhere, and it's just a question of using the right techniques, the right language, and the right prompts to find it. So I can be working with a client who says, duh, 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 no idea where that came from. And I, okay, so we just start talking gently. So I'll put them into a very gentle, light, not a hypnotic state, but just so that they feel relaxed enough that they're easy. The subconscious is actually being very, very receptive and listening to you. And suddenly, sometimes I just click my fingers and go, when did that happen? How old are you? And the person will just sit there and go, 3.
Right.
And it will all come flooding back. It's quite extraordinary.
That's kind of like the power of the subconscious mind, isn't it? Which is, it's a really odd thing. see, she's had a go about all of her medical problems.
Here we go. Where are yours now?
I'm a terrible tooth grinder. Yeah, with stress. But I don't know what I'm stressed about. Yeah, teeth grinding. She's, Susie showed me a flip chart of, what makes a person, useless. And, teeth grinding is one of them on there.
It's actually the symptoms of stress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I couldn't actually tell you what I'm stressed about. I've got lots of things in my life that are stressful that I'm, that I'm not consciously thinking about them.
You've had a lot of life, you see.
I'm really old, yeah. So,
as we've already found out.
Yeah. And there's a lot going on at the moment which I'm not happy about. Yeah. But I'm not aware that I'm thinking of it, if you see what I mean. Yeah, subconsciously I clearly am, because I'm very stressed. So it's weird, isn't it, how powerful your subconscious is, and it's because it's subconscious, it's not in your awareness.
Yes.
So I guess what you're kind of doing is bringing that into the open and getting people to see it for what it is. Is that a fair description of what you're doing?
I mean, different people have different descriptions for it, because we all have, you know, use different language for different things. But the core of it is that, yes, we all have a conscious and a subconscious. The conscious part of our being is only about 10%.
Right.
The subconscious is about 90%. And when you think about the fact that your logical thinking, your critical thinking, your willpower and so on are only in the 10% part, and that
or
all
less.
Sorry?
Or less.
She's not watching.
She's switched off.
No, the Twitter is very busy.
I know, because we haven't done any.
But mostly with dental advice.
But yes, I'm going back to that. Yes, 90% is the subconscious, and there are all kinds of things that go on down there. You know, your beliefs and various bits and pieces. And willpower, unfortunately, is in the top 10%, which means that we have very little willpower, which is why we find it really, really hard to give up things, especially bad habits, you know, things that we like.
Yeah.
And but stress. A lot of people don't understand that a lot of side effects of stress aren't things that they would obviously notice. So you're talking about teeth grinding, and here I've got apathy. Trouble concentrating on things, getting headaches.
Anyway, so
anxiety, anger, stomach problems, fatigue, decreased sex drive, skin irritations, and muscle tension.
And also overeating, comfort eating. I would
get a prize if you got all of them.
If I'm stressed, I overeat. So if I'm tired, I'll go for biscuits, coffee, cake. Rubbish, you know.
It gives you a quick sugar boost. Yeah, so it makes you feel good.
Yeah, it's endorphin, isn't it?
Mm. Well, it's the fats and the sugars that give your body that comforting feeling.
And you know, the funny thing is, when I have flu or something, you know you should eat healthy. So I have a nice bowl of homemade soup or something.
Chicken soup?
Homemade broth. But then I'll crave something crap, like salt and vinegar crisps, which have got loads of sugar in, you know, savouries, they put sugar in everything. So you've got your fat and you've got your addictive sugar. So what I do is I buy plain crisps and I add cider vinegar, so there's no sugar in it. It, Paul Andrews.
Do they get soggy?
No, because you eat them straight away. Okay. You don't hang around, you know, in my house.
<It's> your...
That works.
You're still eating crisps, though, aren't you?
Yeah, but crisps aren't particularly bad. It's the you know, if you have a little packet of crisps, that's not bad for you. Sprinkle it with a bit of cider vinegar. What's bad for you is if you buy the crisps and you taste. I can taste the sugar in crisps. You buy it beef and onion or any flavour. It's all got sugar, salt and vinegar, cheese and onion. All got sugar in. So if you have just plain, it's a potato. Not too bad. Don't shrug.
Yeah,
try it.
Yeah. I don't know.
When he screws his nose up, you know that he's not agreeing with me.
Yeah, no, I don't eat crisps. I mean, Susie's absolutely nailed it there. You know, I mean, I was saying earlier, before Christmas, I lost 2 stone. And I did that relatively easily just by not eating food, basically. I don't exercise ever. It's just not me.
Until next week. Yeah. I'm booking him in. I'll drive him personally.
Next Thursday. Yeah.
I am the worst exerciser in the world.
Get out the lycra.
You love football.
When I was still alive, I played semi-professional football and I still didn't turn up for training ever.
But he loves and football.
I've got a fantastic piece of video. I was playing for Maidstone at the old Maidstone rec ground. My eldest son, Jamie, was about 4 then, and his mum was videoing the game, and partway through you could hear Jamie going, "Mummy, why is Daddy walking around in the middle of the pitch and not running?" And there's me going, "'Cause Daddy's a midfield general, that's why." So no, I don't do exercise, but
do you walk?
Yes, I walk to work every day.
How far from
about 50 yards?
Yeah, I was going to say round the corner.
Yeah, I work at home. I lost weight by not eating, and I'm fairly good at doing that. And then Christmas comes along, and you start to eat. You said earlier, and this is absolutely spot on. You can't achieve anything instantly. Although that's not entirely true, because I can put on weight instantly. What I can't do is take it off instantly. Yeah.
It takes a bit longer to take it off.
It takes a lot longer to take it off than it does to put it on.
Short time to take off, years in a very short period of time to put it all back on again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is a frame of mind. You have to get into the frame of mind to do it. And my partner Amanda says to me quite often, "You need to lose weight," which is true, and it's fair enough. I don't have a problem with that.
When someone tells you, that's hard, isn't it? If someone says, "You need to lose weight," it doesn't work.
I'm not having to go to Amanda because she's absolutely right. What I'm saying is, she knows that I know how to do it. And my answer to that is, I'm not in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
I'm not in the right frame of mind to do this right at the moment. Yeah. So there's no point in me doing it because I just can't get into the right frame of mind to do it. And I know I need to be in a frame of mind.
Well, you've got two people here, two experts who will help you to get into the right frame of mind.
Yep. We're fast approaching the break in the show. So I want to let Susie get a word in edgeways.
Yes, please.
So you do a range of things. Just very quickly, for those that don't know, explain neuro-linguistic programming to people.
In its simplest form is whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you are absolutely right.
Okay. If you believe you can, if you can't, you can't, because whatever you believe, you're right.
It's whatever you believe. And beliefs are a really interesting thing. Mm. When you were little, did you believe in Father Christmas?
Mm-hmm. I still do.
That is the wrong answer. So obvious, wasn't it? I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. But no, you didn't, did you?
Yeah,
but now you're an adult, you don't believe in Father Christmas anymore.
Absolutely.
So our beliefs can change. So if there's something that you have a strong belief about that isn't doing you any good, that's very negative, and is causing you harm, we can change those beliefs. It's called sleight of mouth.
Right, okay.
There you go. Just shouldn't have sleight of hand. Neuro-linguistic programmers, sleight of mouth.
Right.
And yes, we can change your beliefs. Mm. And your beliefs can be, for the better.
Cool. Okay. Just before we move off to the break, you were going to read us a bit of Spy Milligan.
Oh, yes. I love this. And I just thought that for the beginning of January, I know that there are some people out there that aren't feeling terribly well, but believe me, this is a kind of different pick-me-up. So, smiling is infectious. You catch it like the flu. When someone smiled at me today, I started smiling too. I walked around the corner and someone saw me grin. When he smiled, I realised I'd passed it on to him. I thought about the smile and then realised its worth. A single smile like mine could travel round the earth. So if you feel a smile begin, don't leave it undetected. Start an epidemic and get the world infected. And that's with a smile.
Fantastic. Susie, thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us on the show again. You're going to stay with us for the second part of the show as well and join in there. For the moment, if people want to find out more about Susie K and what you do, Susie K Brooks, what's the best way to do that?
Google me. Just Google me, okay. Susie K Brooks, and I should be everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're too lazy to do that, there's a link to Susie's
website.
Yeah. And
www.susiekbrooks.co.uk.
Fantastic. There's a link to that on the Kent Business Radio website as well, so you can find it there.
Thank you.
Susie, thank you so much. Do stay with us for the remaining couple of seconds of this half of the show. Do you know what, Lules? I think we ought to read some tweets before we get inundated.
I do. We have Blue Moxie Agency. They're a digital marketing agency, and they say they have a special offer for Business Bunker listeners. They say save money with our free Google Ads review service. As a Google Ads specialist, I'm offering personalized assessments and actionable insights to boost your campaigns. Ready to optimize for success, they ask. Click the link to get started. So that is on our Twitter, and I'll pass it on to our two guests today as well. That's Blue Moxie Agency on the Twitter, Blue M-O-X-I-E Agency, and they have a very special offer, so give them a follow.
Chips and Dinks have gone lovely jubbly. The Business Bunker's back. Have a great show. It looks like you're kicking 2024 as you mean to go on. Absolutely, we are, Bev. Happy New Year to you.
And ASL Recruitment say, we'd love a shout out, please. We're an independent recruitment agency and HR consultancy based in Hastings, covering Sussex and Kent. We believe people make the difference, and we work hard to make sure our clients and candidates are happy. And congrats on 16 years of Business Bunker. Thank you very much. They might be able to listen on FM, wouldn't they, if they around that area?
Listen on
FM.
Where are they?
Well, they say covering Sussex, Kent and Hastings.
Well, if they're in Hastings, it's 100.2 FM.
There you are.
Chips and Dinks also said, can we have a shout out, please, for Bev's new business called Sam's, which is sanitizing and mold solutions. Oh, you need some of that.
Oh, I do.
Specializing in damp and mold issues, causes, rectification and other works. Surveys including air quality, fan speeds, thermal imaging, moisture readings, damp detection and recommendations. Hey, give them a follow on Twitter, Chips and Dinks. Chips, A-N-D, Dinks. And Bev's new Sam's business.
It's very good. I heard on the news today that the government want landlords to get rid of mould in one day. So it's just like, you know, if you ever try and get rid of mould, it's very, you can't get rid of it in one day. Martin Reeves and the Vandellas, he says, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out. And he's very avidly used the B-Bunker hashtag. I wonder what 2024 has in store for us all. We'll be listening live. And Neville Gaunt, hello to you, listening at Neville Gaunt. That's Neville with two L's, Gaunt, G-A-U-N-T. He's not at all gaunt.
Yep. I should have read this out a little while ago, but better late than never. Sarah Marsh Collins, I'm tuned into the Business Bunker show today to hear Susie, the glamorous lady who looks after the inside of our heads, and Lewis, who's from Market Town CrossFit. Great way to start year 16, and I'm delighted to be part of the journey, and we're delighted to have you as part of that journey as well, Sarah. Thank you so much for all your support over the years. And Sarah is also taking part in the LL Half Marathon on April the 7th, fundraising for the RSPCA. She says, I've never run more than 6K before, so a half marathon is a big deal, but it's worth it to help the RSPCA help animals, domestic and wild. Please consider donating and supporting me. And there's a link here, which is Just Giving, which I've just clicked on, and now it doesn't tell me what it is. It's Sarah's page. I haven't got the full address here. It hasn't come up. Sorry. We will put that on the Bunker website so you can find it. But it's justgiving.com, fundraising, Sarah Marsh Collins.
And she's tweeted in and said, Jules Serkin, the right Twitter handle, she's found one for Susie. There's another one. It's at, so you've got to follow this one as well, at Susie, S-U-S-I-E-K-N-L-P, Neuro Linguistic program. So Susie NLP, N for Norman, L for Lima.
Susie K NLP.
Yeah.
I just found it.
Give that a follow as well. I was already following it from last time Susie was on.
Well done you.
Yeah, you see, I told you I'd set it up.
Just yeah, well done.
Yeah. So I'm taking a picture and I'll tweet it out. That has six followers. So you've got two. You've got two Twitter handles.
Oh.
Yeah, she must have one. And somebody sent me a terrible GIF, Martin Reeves, of of a dentist taking out a tooth has given me the heebie-jeebies. He said, I used to have a phobia of dentists as a kid. My dentist was a not very nice man, very rough, and used to put his knee on my chest to hold us down. But I have no phobia now, as Penny Pot Dental in Ashford are epic.
Cool.
I can remember when I was a dental nurse, I was 15, and the guy that I worked for used to make me hold down kids' hands on their thing while he drilled without any injections.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that was old school.
Yeah, it is. That's very, my city. That's my city.
Well, why didn't you tell me before I went?
Because I didn't know.
I know, I should have texted you. There's a lovely picture of you and your to show you, Lewis, after.
We're going for a break. We're going to have some music and some adverts. When we come back, we're going to... Oh, don't start flashing that around.
It was asked for. It was a request on Twitter.
Yeah, of course it was. When...
Lovely legs, lovely legs.
When we come back, we're going to talk to our next guest, Lewis Sutton from Market CrossFit, and we're going to hear some more nonsense from Jules, probably. Yeah. But anyway, let's have a break, and we'll be back soon. Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.